So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 20 as we prepare to give our attention to God's Word for a few moments tonight. And as you turn there, I want to ask you a question to cause you to think about this. Is there a difference between belief and faith? Is there a difference between belief and faith? I'm talking about biblical belief and biblical faith, and I think when we think of those two things, biblical faith and biblical belief, when we read the Scriptures, we're going to learn that belief and faith are often terms that are interchangeable. And there are a few other terms too. We'll see them as we look at some Scriptures tonight. But belief and faith are very common terms in the Scriptures that are interchangeable, that mean the same thing. But there are also times when there's belief, but there's no faith. Such as, now I didn't tell you to turn here, so just listen. James 2, verse 19, we hear this. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Notice it doesn't say even the demons believe and have faith. They don't. So here in the Bible, we understand that there's such a thing as belief without faith. The demons believe that God is real. The demons believe that God exists. The demons believe that God has plans. But they do not have faith in Jesus. They don't have the kind of belief that leads to faith, which leads to a change in behavior. Because if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith in Christ should lead to a change in behavior because He saves all who put their faith and trust in Him, and then He moves in by way of His Spirit, and when you take up His Word, the Spirit uses the Word to help you change. And that's what I hope we're always willing to do and we're always about, being changed as God works in us with the Word of truth. So let's look at part of the passage that we looked at this morning for a glimpse of this belief and this faith that God's Word commands. You remember this morning I mentioned that God's Word commands that we believe in Jesus. It is a command to believe in Jesus. Now let's look at John 20, starting at verse 24, and note while I read this passage that the belief Jesus speaks of is the belief that is the same as faith in Jesus. So belief and faith being the same in this passage. I'll point to it when we get to it, so follow along as I read. Starting at verse 24, John 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And verse 26 says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe," or have faith. Have faith, believe, says Jesus. Verse 28, Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Verse 29, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed?" Or we could say, "Do you have faith now? Could you have believed because you have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Or blessed are those who have seen me and yet have faith. Now verse 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe or have faith, same idea, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, or that by having faith in Jesus, you may have life in His name. So what Jesus is speaking of here is not just believing that Jesus lived and walked on this earth and even died or even rose from the dead. He's pointing to the kind of belief that leads to faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is who He says He is, God in human flesh. Yes, the one who rose from the dead. He's speaking to belief that leads to faith in Jesus, and that faith in Jesus leads to a change in behavior. And it's not a behavior that comes by the person's own power who has faith. It's change that comes out of steps of obedience to God's Word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, helped along by the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. As that believer continues to have faith, as they look to Jesus alone, they know they're saved in Christ because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, and they know they need Jesus' help every day through the Word and the Spirit. Belief and faith. Faith in Jesus, belief in His promises, this is what we need. So let's think about what faith in our Savior looks like in believers. What does faith or belief in Jesus look like? Wholehearted belief, at least a faith, saving faith. What does this ongoing faith in believers look like? First of all, it's by faith that believers in Jesus truly live. We actually heard it in the text we just read. Verse 31, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, or that by having faith in Jesus, you may have life in His name. That's not just eternal life. That's real life here and now in Christ, with His help, by His power, with His Word at work in us. So first of all, it's by faith that believers in Jesus truly live. The world around us is clamoring to truly live. I mean, this is why we have restaurants, right? You go, and I like restaurants like you do, and you're wanting to go to one that serves good food, not bad food. And so sometimes you go to look for reviews of restaurants to find a good restaurant to go to, because you want good food because you enjoy good food. Otherwise, you would eat dog food or something like that. But we want good food, so we go someplace that serves good food because we're thinking about ourselves and we're thinking about being pleased, aren't we? Yeah, we know we need to eat, but we're also thinking about being pleased when we eat, pleasured, satisfied, happy, joyful. And that's just a very small example of what the world around us is clamoring for in looking for true life. I mean, some people will shipwreck their lives by abusing a substance they think will give them true life, and it just sucks them in and will not let them go. And there are all kinds of things. We could think of all kinds of examples in the culture around us. We could go around the room and name many if we wanted to give time for that. But I think you understand what I'm saying, that the world around us is clamoring for real life, when real life is only found through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where it begins, and that's where it carries on as you continue to look to Christ in faith. But before faith in Jesus, the Bible says of you that you were dead. I want you to turn to Ephesians 2 with me for a moment. It is by faith that believers in Jesus truly live, and you have a life to live before faith in Jesus. You might say, well, I wasn't dead. I mean, I had a life to live before faith in Jesus, and yes, you did. You had a life to live. But you didn't know what real life was until Jesus moved into your life. before faith in Jesus, the Bible says that you are dead. Look at Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1. And you were, speaking to believers who have faith in Jesus, you were, past tense, what were you? You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, or we could say lived. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. No one escapes this truth, that before Christ we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. Among whom we all once lived. And how did we live? We went out to eat. In the passions of our flesh, right? When we want to satisfy our hunger, we're thinking good food, not bad food. You're never thinking bad food. Now, what you eat might be bad for you, but not bad tasting, right? Among whom we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. This is you before faith in Christ. So yes, before true faith in Jesus, you had a life to live. But being dead in the trespasses and sins in which you were dead in and held in captive to, you could only follow the course of this world. Yes, you were free to choose. Yes, you had what some call free will. But you could only follow the devil with your choices. You could only be disobedient. You could only seek to fulfill the desires of your body and your mind. And that's not truly living. And because of the lack of faith in Jesus, you were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. In other words, you were under the just judgment of God for your sins. That's not truly living. But Jesus had other plans, and that's where we can say, praise God. Jesus had other plans. Jesus had other plans for those whom the Father had given him. For those whose faith is in Jesus, verse 4 and following, are true of you. So continue on. Ephesians 2, look at verse 4. And I've said it before, my two favorite words in the Bible, but God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He just gave us real life to live. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, through belief in Jesus. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the life that Jesus wants us to live. This is the life that Jesus gives you when you have faith in him, when you believe in him with the whole heart. And he raises you up from death, and he gives you real life. He gives you true life. And then he calls you to do good works. This is where the good works come in. Not before he saves us, but after he saves us. Now we do good works. That's actually just works of obedience, obeying God's word, being obedient to God's word. And we do them as a part of the new life that we have in Jesus. That's true life. A life lived in obedience to God. When you're looking to Christ in faith and looking to his promises and believing that these things are for you because they are given for your good and for your sake, that's true life. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. There it is again. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So through faith in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus with faith, you live. You are snatched from death's grasp. You are snatched from the fangs of death and hell and the grave. And you are given eternal life, but you are also given real life now to live as you walk in obedience to the Lord. You have a new life and a true life to live with your faith in Jesus when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, it's by faith that believers in Jesus truly live. Next, the Bible also teaches us that by faith, believers in Jesus stand fast or stand firm. It's by faith we stand fast. Listen to Romans 11 and verse 20, where Paul is writing, and he's challenging Gentile Christians not to be proud about their faith, but to be humble. And he points to the broken off branches, and you'll hear it in the passage I'm going to read. And he's talking about those Israelites who rejected Jesus. And he points to the faith that helps true believers in Jesus to stand fast. Listen to Romans 11:20. That is true, it says, they were broken off because of their unbelief. They're like broken off branches. They're no good because of their unbelief. But you, here we go, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. You stand fast through faith. There's one way to stand fast in this life, in your walk with Christ. There's one way to stand firm and be unwavering. It's with your eyes of faith fixed on Jesus and on his finished work for you at Calvary. It is why we sing about the blood. And Paul says not to be proud, but to fear. In other words, fear the consequences of not walking with the Lord. Think of the consequences of not walking faithfully with the Lord, not being obedient to his word. There's going to be in your life a lack of contentment. There's going to be in your life a lack of joy. There's going to be in your life a lack of peace. And though you are not spared difficulty when you walk with the Lord, when you're not walking with the Lord, when you're not being obedient to his word, the difficulty that you face seems that much more difficult. And it's not that God spares you from trials and difficulties when you're walking with him obediently by faith, but he helps you in those trials, and he helps you see them differently. He helps you see these as an opportunity to grow in Christ and to live a godly example with how you deal with your problems, with how you deal with your difficulties. So do not become proud, he says, but fear. But right before that, you stand fast through faith. fear the consequences of not walking with the Lord and not living by faith in Jesus, and stand fast with your eyes of faith fixed on Jesus, not on yourself, not in your own cleverness, not in your own wisdom, not in your own power, not in your own resources. We also hear this in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. You hear the joy connected with standing firm in your faith? The foundation of your life is not found in your gifts. It's not in your skills, not in your place in life, but it's in Christ. The foundation of your life is in Christ, and you can only stand firm, you can only stand fast by keeping your faith fixed on what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross, what He finished there. You're not earning His forgiveness. You're not earning His favor. You are accepted as you are, and yet God does not want to leave you the way you are. He's always going to be working to bring you in a closer relationship with Him by bringing you into closer to obedience to Him. Next, thirdly, the Bible also teaches that believers in Jesus walk by faith. So we stand fast with our faith. We also walk by faith. You know the passage, 2 Corinthians 5:7, that says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." This walk is the way you live. This walk with Christ, it's the way you live. It's the way you decide to live your life, and you have many opportunities throughout every day to decide how you're going to live. How do you live life? How do you think? Are you going to think thoughts that are shaped by the truth of God's Word, or are you going to think fleshly thoughts, things that are controlled by the world around you, the temptations that you face, the temptations that come from within? What are your thought habits? How do you make decisions? How do you choose to behave? And I say choose to behave for a reason, because we choose to behave how we choose to behave. Yes, there are environmental factors around us that are challenging us, but we have choices to make in whether we will behave in a Christ-like way or an ungodly way. Is your walk one of faith? If your faith is fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be directed back to the truth of God's Word for how you think and how you make decisions and how you behave. Do your thoughts and your actions and your decisions and your conversations reflect a strong faith in Jesus and a strong grasp of the promises of His Word? Or are you weak in your faith? Are you easily swayed in your faith? You know, you can only walk by faith if your mind is fixed by faith on Jesus. And I will include here that you need to fix your mind on His promises. You need His Word. Isaiah 26:3 is a familiar passage to you probably. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Or we could even say here, he has faith in you. He believes. If your trust is in Jesus, you will learn to make decisions based on the fact that God is at work. You see, we face challenges, we face difficult relationships, we face turmoil at times. If you think that God doesn't know about what's going on, or you think that He's not too concerned about what's going on, your faith is not as strong as it needs to be. You need to remember that God is at work in all things. He's capable of being at work in all things. It's not like He's busy over here doing one thing and those 10 things are being missed. He's capable of handling them all. And so, when you're facing a difficult decision or difficult conversation, a hard relationship, don't say, "I just hope God is doing something." Wrong. Say, "I know God is doing something. I don't know what it is." That'd be more truthful. "I don't know what it is. But with this, I will take this to the bank in this relationship or this hard conversation. I know God is doing something. And I want Him to be glorified, and I want to be made better through it. So, Lord, help me respond to this in a way that pleases You." You need the Word for that. You need the Word dwelling in you richly. This is what this means, to have the Word dwelling in you richly. It's not just that you're a bank that you never let the funds out of. It's that you store up God's Word so that you can make withdrawals when those problems come. God is at work in it all. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." It's okay to make plans. Just be ready to have them changed by God if He decides to change your plans. And be content with that, because He knows better than you do. You can only walk by faith when you take to heart the truths of God's Word, realizing that God is at work, and remembering truths like these, like this one, 1 Corinthians 10:13, where the Bible gives us this confidence that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. You could also say, God is at work. He is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. How do you think you'll be able to endure temptation? Not with little faith. You need faith in Jesus, that He is at work in you and through you and around you and in the situations. And when you're tempted, you need to remind yourself that God is all about you being victorious over temptation. Do not forget that it is only by faith that you can be victorious over temptation. Keep your eyes of faith fixed on your Savior and on His finished work for you. He gives you new life in Christ, not for any temptation that you will conquer in the future. He gives you victory over sin and death and hell and the grave, and gives you new life in Him because He loves you and He accepted you as you were. And yes, He is working in you to change you and mature you and grow you in Christ's likeness. Keep your eyes of faith fixed on your Savior and what He has given you with His shed blood. Fourthly, the Bible also teaches that believers in Jesus can only resist the devil by faith. So it's fitting that we go from 1 Corinthians 10:13 to this, with this reminder that we can only resist the devil by faith. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him," but there's no period here, "resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." There's a bit of comfort in knowing that you're not alone when you face temptations, when you face the adversary. But the only way to resist Satan's schemes is by faith, firm in your faith. You can only resist the devil's schemes if your faith is in Jesus and fixed on and grounded in His finished work at the cross for sinners. Here's what 1 John 4:4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It is not that you are greater than he who is in the world. Don't misunderstand. It's he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Praise God for the Holy Spirit and for his work. Praise God for his word, which the Holy Spirit will use in our hearts and our minds when we put the word into our hearts and minds and we seek to submit to the truth of God's word. It is not you who are greater than the devil or more powerful than Satan. No, it is he who is in you who is greater, and that's the Holy Spirit, and that's God's promise you are to live by. And you ought to praise God for a promise like that, because without he who is in you, you would be in a world of hurt from he who is in the world, Satan. And that's why the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. It says that right before it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So don't miss the submit yourself therefore to God. Don't just think, I'm just going to resist the devil. I'll be fine. I'm strong. I'm disciplined. I can do this. No, you can't. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You need God's word. You need it. I said it earlier, you need it dwelling in you richly. Submitting yourself to God means you're going to say, God's plans, God's desires, God's word, the truth of God's word is better than anything you could ever come up with. And it's far better for me to submit to God and his ways and his plans than it is for me to come up with my own schemes for anything, especially for trying to resist the devil. But when you resist the devil, because you've submitted yourself to God, the devil will flee from you. I praise God for a promise like that. Submit your life to be lived God's way. That means you keep looking to God's word. You keep trusting in his promises. You need to keep trusting in his truths, the wisdom of his word. Submit yourself to God. Then, with God's help, you can resist the devil, and you can be firm in your faith. And then number 5, there are also temptations in the world, and it is only by faith that God's people can overcome the world. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And what we're talking about is not conquering the world, not hating the world, but it's resisting the temptations that are in the world, the things that would draw us away from obedience to Christ. For everyone who has been born of God, that's someone who has faith in Jesus. A person who's been born of God is a believer in Jesus Christ. And that person overcomes the world. And then verse 4 goes on to say, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Two words. Our faith. Our faith, not in us, our faith in Jesus, our faith in his promises, our faith in his finished work for us. Verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's our faith. That's where our faith is grounded. That's the foundation of our faith. And you need faith in Jesus to resist the devil. And you need faith in Jesus to resist and overcome the temptations that surround you in the world. God could have taken us out of the world, and he still could now at any moment. But for the moment, we're still here. And yet, he's equipped us for living here in the world so that we can trust him and depend upon him and live by faith and overcome the things in the world that would burden us and derail us in our walk with Christ. So let me give you this encouragement. Learn to say with the psalmist from Psalm 27:13, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We sing almost every hymn. It just seems like almost every hymn we sing, the fourth verse or the fifth verse, the last verse, is always about heaven. Almost always. That's not original with the hymn writers. It's original with those who gave us God's Word. And the Spirit moved the writer of the psalm to say, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's your promise while you're still here. You can live by faith. Walk with Christ by faith. How can you know this is true? Because your faith is in the Lord, and you look to His promises for encouragement and wisdom and strength. And then His Spirit works in you to assure you that His promises are true. And learn to say with Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:10, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Believe. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Keep believing. Keep looking to Christ every day. Keep reminding yourself that before He saved you, you were unable to do anything for yourself but make sinful choices. Unable to save yourself, you were, I was going to say I'm sorry, but this is the truth, worthless. You were unlovable. You were an enemy of God. And yet, if your faith is in Jesus Christ right now, He saved you in spite of you. Take that to heart and keep looking to Jesus every day and keep growing in your faith. I don't think we'll ever come to the point this side of heaven where we don't have more room to grow in our faith in Christ. So don't be discouraged by that. Keep seeking to fill up your heart, your life, your soul with faith and more faith in Jesus Christ, looking to His promises daily, taking to heart the truths that He has given you because of His grace, because of His love for you. Praise God for that.